with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Job's gonna take a little break here from this segment because there's nine kinds of sausage and lunch meats here that Sobe Meats puts together. And I'm just gonna eat. Bob, take it away, brother.
All right. Well, I got my feet on the last segment, so thank you very much. Is there something in my teeth?
It's jerky.
It's for later.
So you you have been doing, I think I met you because I was actually doing a sausage and jerky class, and I had to come into you years ago and buy some casings. I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't, but you were in your old building. And I couldn't find anybody in Grand Rapids that had casings. And so you bailed me out.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. It's been a good relationship ever since.
It has been great. Actually, your wife was there the first time. You were running meat around. And so I got to meet her first, and she took care of me. And then I had to go back and pick it up, and that's when I got to meet you. But the first time I walked in your shop, I kind of knew there was some magic going on because you had that small front end and the big pickle barrel, which I loved. And the place was chock full of people. It was not only chock full of people, but that small waiting, you know, had that slim, long counter, and they would just pack in there. They weren't only packed in there, but they were really having fun. They loved being there. So I picked up that mojo, and then I said, okay, this guy knows sausage, blah, blah, blah. I've heard about him anyway. I got to dig more into this. So take it away. We want to learn about making sausage first.
Okay. So, and I don't mind in the least if somebody wants to make sausage, their own venison sausage at home, stop in, pick my brain. I don't mind in the least.
They can buy their supplies there, actually.
Absolutely. All the supplies, and if you have sausage recipes you want to use, I call my down and dirty method. Let's say you're doing a venison sausage. Take a little bit, mix your seasonings in there, make a small little patty in your hand, you know, just a little one, flatten it down. I'm not a microwave cooking guy, but for a sausage, quick, down, and dirty, throw that little patty in the microwave to cook it enough where you can taste it and warm those seasonings up.
Or on a fry pan.
Or on a fry pan, which is better. But at least a real quick way you can say, hey, needs more of this or
really
less
good
of that.
Idea. I did that in your shop.
Yeah,
you did some chicken. You had me try a couple months ago.
Yeah,
you had some ground chicken you were doing that with, and you had several variations. That's actually a really good idea.
And that way, at least the first batch, because that's why a lot of times meat markets and that are so protective of recipes. When you run batch after batch, mm-hmm. you got a lot of time money invested into getting it right. So I would say, you know, to anybody else, if you're going to make it yourself, just make a little bit. Do that one little patty, throw it in the nuker, adjust it, try it again. Now, after you've tweaked it, you're ready for that first run in your smoker, if that's what you're going to do with it. Then get it stuffed out, do the process. You can tweak it again after that, but you'll cut to the chase way quicker with less batches, less time, less product.
That's awesome. So let's talk about grinding the meat and mixes, ratios, because your average guy is going to probably be trying it with venison because it's meat that they have and they want to get rid of it. Like in my house, I'm one of the few that eats it, me and Olivia. And if the boys come home, maybe, but my wife doesn't. My older girls really don't eat it. So I have to consume as much as I can, right?
That's
so
right.
If I make meat sticks or jerky, that's easy to take along and I can get rid of some volume that way.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
We'll use it like sausages like that. If it's a meat stick, or like a salami or summer sausage, we'll grind two times fine.
Two times.
Yep. And funny that you say that. The one sausage that I brought along, our homemade krakuska or crocky,
which
as
is
it's called.
Really good.
It has a super
It's called
coarse
crack in the meat community, right? If you have it once, you're going to want more of it.
And we'll, we can talk about that again, but that is...
This is like it, the Muppets, where the guy's in the balcony.
Oh, yeah. He's got, we just got called that the
good.
Other day.
No, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, you guys are two old guys in the balcony talking about us, you know?
So, do you recommend then cutting your meat into chunks to throw it in a grinder? And we're going to talk about grinders later, but... So, you'd want to actually mix your chunks of meat. If you're using pork and venison or beef and venison, you'd want to mix those chunks together so you start grinding them together right off the bat.
Sure. The single best tip I would give anybody for a good sausage is the better it's mixed, the better the sausage. So if you were to think of that big batch, 50-pound batch, let's say, you want every bite to taste exactly the same. A lot of guys take shortcuts. So anything sure. you can do to get that better blend, grind the meat together by grinding it twice. Make sure when you mix that up, we'll use a term, and make sure it's oxidized. So when you're mixing it up, if you were to pull hunks of meat apart, it almost looks like fibers.
Okay.
You're pulling it apart kind of a thing, and that's a good, good mix.
So now when you make your kielbasa, is that kielbasa right there?
Yes.
Let me see a bag of that.
Yeah.
I got him to pass me the meat.
Oh, do I need to talk now because you're going to eat?
I fell for that again. I'm so old, slow, and Polish, it ain't funny.
So this is a single grind or double?
That's a single grind, okay. And we do a coarse grind.
So like brats, your brats are always a single grind.
Yep.
A single coarse grind.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, they do a double fine.
Yep.
It's a way different way to do your meat. It looks different. Actually, taste probably is the same. I don't know why anybody cares either way, but you like the double course for your typical sausage?
A single course for brats.
No, but I'm talking about if the guy was making venison brat or venison sticks.
Meat sticks?
Meat sticks.
Two times fine.
So that's two times fine.
Which, if you were to think, gee, what's fine mean? If you were to look at ground beef, that's two times ground fine. Okay. It would be that consistency.
All right.
Yeah.
So Tim, let me ask a quick question while Bob eats. Mm. Are you putting the seasonings in the first grind, in the second grind? Is it all ground and then you're mixing stuff in? What's that look like to distribute that seasoning evenly?
We do our grind all by itself. After that, then we add our seasonings and mix.
Okay.
So the grind is one operation. Adding seasonings and mixing is the second operation. Can you add seasonings and mix it in your grinder at the same time? Sure you can, but when we're making 35 different sausages in one day, we're keeping the seasonings out of the grinder.
Right. That makes sense.
It's not really cross-contamination, but you cross-seasoning.
No, but you're gonna leave a flavor behind.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yep. So you want to, I'll say you leave it in a pure state.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yep.
So when the grind comes out, you've got 50 pounds of it in your kettle. Are you mixing that with a paddle? Are you mixing it by hand? What is there a secret, I guess, to integrating the seasonings into it?
Mixing by hand is fine. Obviously, we're running a lot more production, so we have a mechanical mixer. I just actually got a new one that it does a reverse grind, goes two directions at the same time.
But if a guy's wife has one
only
of those,
in a Polish meat market would you go two ways at the same time?
Yeah, no, we're the other way. We're not going down there. Okay.
So my wife has one of these big mixers, countertop mixers. And I actually have a meat grinder for the front of it. I think Jop got it for me for Christmas.
I did.
The attachment. It is tough on meat, so I'm going to get a bigger one to do bulk sausage. That's good for like veggies and stuff like that. But if you're going to start tearing up a bunch of meat, you got to get something a little bigger. But that what that mixer does have is a dough kneading paddle. And I'm thinking you could probably mix your meat up in there with that. Just throw it in that bowl and let that big motor turn that around and mix it up thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. You can, and actually before we got our market started and we did venison at the house and sausages ourselves, we hand-mixed everything. There's nothing wrong with hand-mixing. That's how sausage got its start, was hand-mixing. There again, the biggest secret is in the whatever tub you're using to mix it, scrape the corners, scrape the sides, and keep rolling, folding it back in because you want every bite to be evenly mixed. That's the number one secret.
All right.
Nothing wrong with hand-mixing.
Cool.
Coming up next, cut your cheese or grind your own. You listen to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. What? watch out, brother, for that long black train.